baby daughter. Now the river's wide and deep and brown, and she's crossing muddy water. Standing in the fields, be rotten come November, and a bitter heart will not reveal a spring that love remember. When that sweet brown girl of mine, hair black as a raven, we broke the bread and drank the wine from a jug that she'd been saving, left me in my tears to drown. And she left a baby daughter. Now the river's wide and deep and brown, and she's crossing muddy water. Crying and the daylight's gone, and that big old tree is groaning in a rush of wind and a river song. I can hear my true love moaning, crying for her baby child. Oh, crying for her husband, crying for that river's wild to take her from her loved ones. Left me in my tears to drown. She left a baby daughter. Now the river's wide and deep and brown, and she's crossing muddy water. River's wide and deep and brown, and she's crossing muddy water.
rock and roll music and why I preach against it. I believe that it is a contributing factor to our juvenile delinquency.
DJ Easy Ed's Variety Hour. 120 minutes of rockabilly, hillbilly, old country, 50s R&B, and vintage rock and roll.
I know what it does to you.
Friday evenings from 6 to 8 p.m., alternating with Steve Harnish and the Bingo Show. Only here on WMFO in Medford.
If you talk to the average teenager of today and you ask them what it is about rock and roll music that they like, the first thing they'll say is the beat, the beat, the beat.
Want some now? Just search the web for DJ Easy Ed's Variety Hour to find the website, Blogspot, Facebook and MySpace pages, and Apple iTunes podcasts. Tufts Freeform Radio, 91.5 on your FM dial and WMFO.org on the web.
It even vibrates like real.
And you are listening to WMFO in Medford. 91.5 FM and WMFO.org on the web. Tufts Freeform and Educational Radio. We'll be right back.
You're listening to WMFO in Medford, Massachusetts. My name is Chris Searle. We're just going to play some tunes. Here's The Who.
Herman's been gone for nigh on a year. He was due home yesterday, but he ain't here. Herman's been gone for nigh on a year. He was due home yesterday, but he ain't here.
Eyes.
WMFO Medford, Massachusetts. My name's Chris Earle. I guess this is time travel of the Chris Earle Show. I retired time travel, so it has to be the Chris Earle Show, I guess, with Larry Rapucci. How you doing?
Hi, thanks for inviting me for no pay.
We came in. We came in a little early because I didn't watch this from 5 to 7. But Joyce isn't here anymore from 3 to 5. And she's been recovering, but she hasn't been in. She had some surgery.
Joyce, no note? The voice. She give you a note? Nothing?
She sent me a message like 2 months, and she's like, I haven't heard from you. Of course, I'm concerned and I think about her, but I wasn't like messaging her every day to ask how she was doing because I knew she was healing.
Tell me about Joyce. I don't know her. What's her deal? How old is she?
Joyce, the voice, is it was a lady, and she's, I don't want to say elderly, but she's a little older. Okay. She's in her 60s probably, and she does a little show called The Voice Mobile, and she's been on WMFO for years. It's primarily a Jewish show. She plays a lot of Jewish music, talks about Jewish news, things like that.
Jewish benefits.
Sure. Yeah.
Cool.
Jewish food, I guess. Nice. Sometimes, from time to time.
Nice.
She celebrates Sukkot.
What's that?
It's a Jewish holiday.
How is that spelled?
It's Sukkot.
I see.
And then there's Hanukkah, of course. It's early this year. I believe it's December 2nd to the 10th or something like that.
Does she have a good sense of humor?
Yes, she does. She's very funny. And she's interesting. She met John Lennon and Yoko, and she used to run around and do a bunch of concerts in the 60s and 70s. So she's a very interesting person.
She a singer?
I like her very much. Too? No. Well, she sings from time to time, but I wouldn't say she was a professional singer. But we wish her well.
I love her name, like Aubrey.
She changed her name to Joyce the Voice, too. Like, so, that's her last name, The Voice.
Because The Voice is not Jewish sounding?
Maybe, I don't know. I don't know what... What would you like to hear? How about some Tubes?
Why not?
All right, I'll put the Tubes in the background. That was Talking Heads. Did you like the Talking Heads?
I've never heard the song, so... It's
this
hard
is one
to,
of the later ones.
It's hard to listen to music while I'm trying to think about what to say.
See, I can do both.
With Tewksbury's Chris Earle here in Medford, my hometown. Yes, I'm going to go by City Hall later and get a raised seal birth certificate, so I have two.
I got White Punks on Dope coming up next. I know you like that one.
There's a live version, which is smoking,
well,
but...
Let's not go crazy.
Do whatever you want. This is your gig. Nice stereo signal. I love it.
Yeah. We were talking off the air before we just jumped on the air, and you're saying music better than movies. Debatable.
Well,
there are reasons why music is better than movies, or movies are better than music.
I'm really speaking for me. No one has to call and disagree or agree. I am wired to listen. When I've heard enough, I shut it off.
Uh-huh.
But how many times have you sat through a bad movie thinking maybe like my life has become a bad movie? That's how I've looked at it. It's just I'm watching a bad movie.
Well, here's the thing about me and movies. I love movies, and I always give them a chance. I always watch them to the end because I feel if you've only watched 10-20 minutes of it, you cannot form an opinion. Like my brother will sleep during half a movie and then he'll say like, it was okay. I'm like, your opinion doesn't count because you didn't see the movie.
You've never walked out of a movie theater?
Never.
I don't know if I believe you.
Never.
Yeah.
Maybe for a date, let me think. Like things get hot and heavy in the seats, and then you just...
That's because the movie stunk.
Much younger.
If the movie was better...
No, I stayed.
If the movie
I got it
was...
on in the theater once.
I know, but if the movie was better, you wouldn't have hit on your friend.
She hit on me. Okay. This is back when I was, you know...
Yeah. Where is she?
Funnier, more upbeat.
Yeah, well...
Where is she? She's married with two kids.
Yeah. You're not upbeat.
Miserable, because she's not with me.
No, you're not upbeat. You're downtrodden. It's a little different, but I understand why.
You know what the movie was? It was Woody Allen's Alice, and we got it on.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was Mia Farrow. It was one of her last movies with Woody Allen, because then he was banging Sun Yi on the side.
It's hard to process that.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what anybody sees in anybody today. I don't care how hot you are.
Yeah.
What was the Woody Allen movie? Black and white, where he played all those...
Shadows and Fog.
No. He played all the characters.
Manhattan.
One word. It's like Yentl. It's the one word I'm looking for.
He did a lot of black and white movies. Yeah, Manhattan. Zelig.
That's it.
Fantastic.
Did you like that?
Fantastic movie.
Yeah. Did you like it?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite Woody Allen movies. Very underrated.
Yeah, I saw that in Florida by myself in 1982 or 3, I believe.
Yeah, so it's like set in the 20s, I think. It's the 20s or 30s, and the guy is a chameleon, so whoever he's speaking with, he turns into.
That's great.
So if he's talking to a black man, he turns into a black man. Turns into a woman, he turns... It's great. Just a fantastic movie, and they treat it like a documentary, like the guy was real. And they have the old footage. It's a great movie.
Last time we were here, it was September something of this year, and you made the statement, I can separate the artists, we were talking about Bill Cosby, from how much of a screw-up they are in life. What about Woody Allen? Do you hold any of that against him?
He got a bad rap, too, I thought, because, you look at it, too, and over time, he stayed with Sun Ye, so he's still with her. And, you know, at the time, it is kind of weird that they adopted this kid, and you know, I mean, that was, of course, weird, and... But Mia Farrow is absolutely crazy, too.
Of course.
She's bonkers. And the way, you know, she's obviously very jaded, and she wanted to hurt him after that, like over and over and over again. But I think I was able to separate the artist. You know, you got to see Manhattan Murder Mystery, which came out in like 94 or 6, around there. So he brings back Diane Keaton because Mia Farrow's out of the picture. So that was one of the ways he had to come back and kind of, like, fit himself back into society, slowly wade back into the water. It's interesting, but I think, you know, nowadays nobody even remembers it. You know, nobody cares.
No, I think there's no more relevancy, but that's just my opinion. I have a request.
What's that?
I do go on Wikipedia here and there, and I looked up Kurt Vonnegut last night.
You want to hear some Kurt Vonnegut?
No, I want you to read the quote that Kurt Vonnegut wrote, but I've never read his books. I've heard his name. I never knew who he was. I'm just letting my whole life pass me by without.
Oh, all right. I can play some. I can do a quote from Kurt Vonnegut. What would you like in the background?
I don't care.
Let me play something first. Let me play some Lou Reed.
You're the DJ. I'm co-pilot.
How about? I got a good one.
Surprise me. Don't ask me. Just surprise me. What song goes good with the song currently playing? That's a DJ's job.
That's right.
It's
Lou Reed. It's going to be Lou Reed and John Cale.
Beautiful Day or Take a Walk on the Wild Side.
No, it's
going to
be Small Town.
I don't know.
You know that? It's Lou Reed and John Cale from 1990.
Okay.
Fantastic album. And basically Songs for Drella, which, of course, was Andy Warhol's nickname.
So I didn't know all this, but I would have liked to have met Andy, but... He looks like he eats too much biscotti.
Yeah, both you and I look a little like Andy.
I think you do more than me.
You think so?
Yeah, I remind you of nobody, I hope. There's no one like us, so.
You're right. It's a great ending to a song, too, The Tubes.
Should have a live version.
One of the most underrated bands, The Tubes.
No, they were big.
You think so?
Yeah, they were big.
They could have been bigger, though.
Yeah, but they're still out there singing this stupid song, and they're 68 years old.
Yeah,
not stupid, but how do you rock when you're 70 years old?
I don't know.
Too fat to reach the mic stand.
It's hard to rock now.
Divorced 5 times.
I don't get it.
No, I'll never get married because I'll never get divorced. That was my point of view when I was young. Plus, I don't know what anybody sees in anybody. You see a pretty girl, hey, let me go over and say hi. What can happen?
Yeah, one of the movies that I'm covering today, 5 to 7, Eternal Sunshine, Spotless Mind. Fantastic. We'll talk about that a little later. But, yeah, it says a lot about, like, everybody's relationship with one another.
Try to coax me into why I should enjoy good acting and good movies. Try to convince me.
Should I do it now? Or do it?
I'm co-pilot, like I said.
Or in general?
Yeah, you said, Larry, this is what you're missing. At me like that.
So what type of movies did you like when you were watching movies?
I like black and white films like Days of Wine and Roses with Lee Remick.
Oh, that's a nice one.
Jack Lemmon.
Sure.
Because
you had actors and actresses back then, too. People that were actually working every day for the studio. So they knew their craft.
A movie about being drunk. I could be a non-drunk and still enjoy the heck out of it.
Leaving Las Vegas. Fantastic.
I tried to watch that, but I fell asleep. I know he dies at the end, I was told. But yeah, I liked it.
Yeah,
until I fell
fantastic.
Asleep.
I almost had that on the list today, actually.
And in the hotel room when she said, you could do whatever you want to do with me. Mm-hmm. What?
Yes. And he started,
And it's like,
You can.
And it's like.
And he's laughing. Yeah,
that would freak me out. Would that freak you out? Someone that looked like her offered herself up to you.
Well, she's a hooker.
I know, but still.
Yeah, I wouldn't be there to begin with.
If it would freak me, you're right.
Yeah, although I think I dated a couple hookers without knowing.
Who was that, Elizabeth Shue?
Yes. Yeah.
She's just
gorgeous.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Did you see Piranha 3D with Elizabeth Shue?
No.
She plays a cop in it. Still looks good.
A cop?
Yeah.
Oh, that's original.
Mm-hmm.
A cop with a beeper.
Adventures of Babysitting with Elizabeth Shue. Back to the Future 2.
Okay.
And 3 with Elizabeth Shue.
Okay. These are... Don't say, Larry, you need to see this, because no, I don't.
You do. Okay. You do. You need to see
no,
this.
No, no, no.
I'm going to make a list.
Larry, this is what you're missing. Elizabeth mm-hmm. Shue dressed up like...
A cop.
A cop.
Yeah.
Or a goddess.
Yeah.
Or whatever you, label you want to put on her.
She never showed herself off again, I don't think, after leaving Las Vegas. Her and Nicolas Cage, they don't talk about that movie anymore, because there was a lot of... negativity around it. The guy killed himself, like during filming, that wrote the Leaving Las Vegas.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
What's his name?
I forget. Mike Figgis directed it. The guy that wrote it. That's a good question. I should know that off the top of my head.
Dan one?
No,
Figgis?
No, that's from Star Wars.
Oh, see. Yeah,
that's
would
from
you believe?
Figuring Dan and okay. the Modell Nodes.
I've never seen Star Wars.
You're kidding.
I don't want any
no,
hate mail because I'm never
me.
Going to, unless Dane Cook invites me.
Yeah. No, Mike Figgis wrote it and directed it. It was based on Leaving Las Vegas by John O'Brien. That's who killed himself.
Is that 1996-ish? What year are we talking?
94.
That was
yeah.
close.
Yeah, he had written a couple of books.
He did, you know what? That's the guy that killed himself you're showing right now?
John O'Brien, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Why? Why? He didn't make his money back?
No, he was sad, you know.
Was he a drunk?
Yes.
It's all about him.
Yeah.
So he drank himself to death.
Yeah, pretty much. How about some Louis Prima?
Why not? Oh, Marie?
Do you know, I can play Oh, Marie.
Yeah.
All right, I'll do that. I got Jump, Jive, and Whale. I'll play Oh, Marie first.
Oh, my God, you did the shortest segue I've ever heard.
How's that?
We used to work with Marie. Remember her?
Yes, I liked Marie.
From Malden?
Yeah, she was very nice. She was from Malden?
Yeah, I screwed that relationship up because she was married, and I told her I don't hang out with married women. Why? Because of my genitalia.
Mm-hmm. You can. I have women that I've known a very long time that I'm friends with. Never fooled around with them.
Now I can.
Yeah.
Then I couldn't. And we're only talking 12 years ago.
Yeah.
And she made too big of a deal out of knowing me. And she went, yeah, I did. I said, well, don't do that. I'm not Elvis.
Well, here's my thing. Here's my theory. The women choose the men. Men never choose women.
Of course.
Women choose the men.
Of course.
And
they seduce us.
Yes. Yes, and like I said, Eternal Sunshine, Spotless Mind, perfect example.
Is that Bill Murray?
It's no, it's Jim Carrey, and it's not Elizabeth Shue though. It's Kate Winslet.
Mm.
But I think Elizabeth Shue would have been good in it.
Kate's fine too.
What movies would have been better with Elizabeth Shue? Do you think?
Oh boy, Rocky. No,
Rocky. Yeah, Sly Stallone, Elizabeth Shue.
I would say Army of Darkness, even though that woman nailed it.
Yeah,
Lizbeth something.
Yeah, yes,
beautiful.
Great movie, Evil Dead 2.
Beautiful.
One of the best horror movies.
I liked
and funny.
It too. I don't even like horror movies, but once the comedy kicked in, I went, now I like horror movies.
Yeah, when he's yelling at himself, cutting off his hand.
Yeah, that don't mean I want to watch The Blob and Lee Marvin. Mm. You know, I want to see, you got to have some comedy in there.
Yeah.
Being an interesting character. I need to laugh.
Yes.
Every, whatever, 7-8 scenes, be nice.
Yeah.
There are many movies that call themselves comedy, and I laugh twice.
Right.
So, yeah.
It was horrible.
That's
Anchorman 2. Did you see that?
I didn't see Anchorman 1.
Anchorman 1 wasn't bad. It takes a while to set up, but then after about 20 minutes in, it gets really funny. And then number 2 was just awful.
I love the guy. I can't even think of his name.
Will Ferrell.
He's great.
Yeah.
But that, you know what? I think Kenny Rogerson once said, famous Boston comedian, sometimes you have to stink. But he didn't say stink.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it. I don't care who you are.
Yeah, you do.
He's just like Tom Brady last Sunday. Sometimes
was
you got
bad?
A stink.
Yeah.
Yeah, they lost 34-10. And everybody,
is that what it was? Yeah.
Yeah, everybody's going nuts because he's 41. He's done. What am I listening to sports talk radio
ridiculous.
For?
Yeah.
I'm waiting for the one hockey call to come in. It never comes in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that Tewksbury McDonald's we met at. It's one of the better McDonald's, don't you think?
You know what I don't like, though, is you have to go by the drive-through traffic in order to get through the front door. It's crazy.
Make a reservation.
There were so many people in line, though. It's like it's just bound for accidents. I bet you there's plenty of accidents there. A lot of kids going there. It is a nice McDonald's, though, but very small.
Yeah, I like small.
I like my McDonald's a meaty room, a nice meaty room.
Do you remember at Burger King what their fish sandwich was called? They've done away with it.
The beak, no. the BK, no.
Nope.
It was the, they had a hat, there was a haddock.
Do you want a hint?
Yes.
It started with W, the sandwich.
It was the
you're going to get it.
The Whaler.
Yes.
It was the Whaler.
Yes. You got it.
I ordered a Whaler with cheese.
Do they still have it?
No, they did away with it.
Oh.
I went in one day and caused a scene, probably 1980. What happened to the Whaler?
Yeah. There was two specialty sandwiches. There was the Whaler, and then there was, I think it was a chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
And they called it something else, too. It was like a chicken parm or something. Yeah.
That wasn't good.
Nah. I used to love going there, though, with friends. After high school, we used to go to Burger King, and we just BS, you know?
How great was it to be a kid? I don't like this adult thing. There's too many details.
Yeah. Well, the thing is you got a clean slate as a kid. And now that I got, like, you know, I got a little nephew and I got a niece, and now I'm watching them, you know, and it's watching with new eyes. I can see why people do it. I don't want to do it. And I know I would have been a good dad, but I see it with new eyes. But the thing is people get old and jaded. And the other thing is people treat you horribly. And that's what happens. You get beaten down. You get beaten down by other people.
When
you're young and as you get older.
Yeah.
You know, people that get older are just disasters. Yeah.
I don't know how people come up with, how do you walk with testicles that big to give me a hard time?
This I don't understand, too. Somewhere along the line, like older people, like guys and women, and I talked about being dismissed. This is one of my least favorite things with people. So I'm in line, you know, when I met you at McDonald's, I'm getting a coffee, and I got myself a hamburger, and this lady comes up, right? She was probably about 70, and she just starts to order, like, and I'm not even done giving my money to the lady. So she's not behind me. She's standing next to me. And I'm like, what the hell is she doing? I'm like, these are the rules. She's been on Earth for 70 years. You wait in line. The person gets done with the register. And then when the lady says, may I help you, ma'am, that's when you step up. She stood next to me, and she started shouting for a yogurt. And I hadn't even paid the lady yet. I'm like, what the hell is she doing?
But what did you said and did nothing?
I did nothing. You know why? Because I'm kind. But as soon as I find out I'm terminal with cancer, I got a list. And I'm taking people out.
Depends on what stage.
Yeah. That's true.
No, there's no reason to be an a-hole to anybody. And obviously, I use different terminology when I want to make my point.
Yeah.
And I've even said that last Thursday. I had an interview in Wilmington for a security job.
Yes.
And I said that to the woman interviewing me, and she liked it. Uh-huh. Now, sometimes I say the real word instead of a-hole, because it depends on who you're dealing with. But if there's anyone listening that wants to give me some good interview, fun-loving advice, because I always mess it up once I find out the person's a degenerate or an overreactor about nothing. Yeah. I don't want to work for them. I'm like you. You want to know me, you got to have something going for you. I'm talking about a dynamic personality, your ability to get to work 20 minutes early, all the little things. If you're late, that's one thing why me and Marie ended. She was always late.
Yeah.
And she said, I can give you a ride home so you don't have to buy a bicycle. You don't have to ride your bicycle to work. I'll give you a ride to work so you don't have to ride your bicycle to work. Up the Bill Ricka Center Hill, 6 miles.
Yeah.
I said, so I can get here 30 minutes early by bike or train, or I can be late with you in a car.
Right.
And she found that funny. I go, it's really not that funny, because that's why I don't want to know you. She goes, well, I've never lost a job over it. That's because we work for people that can't get there on time themselves.
Right, yes.
I'm a manager. I could be 9 minutes late. Not in my world. So, yeah, I know I make a big deal out of it. But it's a technicality.
Well, no, you're right, though. You have first impressions, and if you lose that first impression, people get to see your behavior pattern, and then they judge you. It doesn't matter where you work or who you are. You know, I had a boss that was never in. She didn't even come in the last day I was there. She was a coward.
She didn't like you.
She was a coward.
Thing is,
she didn't like me, and that's why I got laid off.
Do you know, Marie, if you called me and said I'm in traffic in Lowell, I'm going to be probably 20 minutes late. Okay, let me call work and say I'm going to be 20 minutes late because I'm in traffic.
Right.
Don't screw up my opportunity, because they actually like me there.
She was doing you a favor, but she wasn't fulfilling what she said she was going to do.
They liked me, and I like working there, and you took all that away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a price to pay. You don't get to know me. But you know what? If I see Marie walking down the street in Tewksbury at Cumbie's.
Yeah.
I think you can correct anything.
I would start by saying, you know what? I was a little overreactive, Marie. Would you like to have a root beer slush?
I think you can correct everything, anything. Except people don't want to try.
No,
most people
don't
want
to
try.
I'm ready
too,
to try.
But I'm sick. I'm sick of people.
I know.
I'm at the point where forget it.
No second chances.
No.
Yeah,
if nobody's reaching out to me, forget it. Forget it.
You're going to deal with me. I don't have to deal with you. That's what it becomes, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, you have changed, but you know what?
I have. Do you think for the better?
Yeah, you're onto something.
I think so, too.
But there's going to come a day where you're going to go, I really need to talk to this person because
no.
This has been bothering me. Yeah, you'll see.
No. Day of Reckoning.
I don't know what that is.
Day of Reckoning. That's like
the
last
Boston
day.
Band.
That's the last Should be. That's a good name for a band, actually.
I think it is.
That's the name of my new album, Day of Reckoning.
Don't forget Kurt Vonnegut's quote, I want you to read it aloud. It's maybe a paragraph long.
Here's my greatest hope.
Yep.
When I go, and there's still people around after me that knew me, they're going to say, well, he was right.
Yeah, but who cares who's right? Do what is right. Who cares who is right?
But people, yeah, if they don't do what's right, and they say this guy was right,
if you do the natural order of things, it's mm-hmm. still going to backfire, but you're not all twisted up over it.
So the Day of Reckoning is a time when past mistakes or misdeeds are punished and paid for, a testing time when the degree of one's success or failure will be revealed.
I'm not talking about punishment. I'm talking about understanding.
But you don't think everybody will have a Day of Reckoning?
I don't want to speak for everybody. I speak for me.
Mm-hmm.
And knowledge is in power. Understanding is.
Let's do the French quiz by Jacques Lalonde.
Okay, was he a hockey player? Who the hell is he?
Do you remember the Inside the Actor Studio,
yeah.
James Lipton?
Yes.
James Lipton did a quiz with everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do the quiz. Let's do it.
And didn't what's his name do an impression of him fabulously?
Yes, Will Ferrell.
Unbelievable.
One of the
fabulous.
Best ones.
Fabulous. And he did it right next to him,
mm-hmm.
which was even better.
So it's the questionnaires of James Lipton, Bernard Pivot, and Marcel Proust.
Now, who is he? A philosopher?
James Lipton's, they all had questionnaires, basically,
not
what's
him.
Your favorite word,
guy,
and blah, blah, blah.
The guy you're about to quote, who
yes.
was he, what did he do?
James Lipton's questionnaire?
No, the guy.
He based it off of Bernard Pivot and Marcel Proust.
What did Bernie and Proust do for a living?
French talk show host was Pivot.
Hmm.
He hosted a show called Apostrophes from 1975 on, and also a cinema, I believe also a movie, a cinema show, a film show.
That's where you
and
got his idea to steal.
Proust was French novelist.
Okay,
from 1871 to 1922.
Is the interviewer radio or television?
Actually, it was both.
Okay, that makes sense.
It was both. So,
okay.
so Lipton took their questionnaires and he created his own.
Okay, go ahead. Yes, ask me, and don't forget about Kurt Vonnegut next.
What is your favorite word? Remember, no swearing.
No, it's not a swear, but it's kind of a dirty word.
Yes.
And I just thought of this yesterday. Not that I knew you were going to ask me.
Uh-huh.
Discharge. I don't know why.
What is your least favorite word?
Well, it's two words, really. Go away. Or will you be leaving soon?
Okay.
It's more than one word.
All right.
Or rejection.
How about goodbye? Rejection.
Dismissal or rejection?
Dismissal.
Like, you have a problem with that, too.
Yeah, I'd say dismissal.
I'm with you.
I would throw cancer in there, too, maybe.
Okay. Stage.
That was a least favorite. That's a least favorite word.
Okay.
My favorite word, I don't even know what that would be.
I
like that. I like that sound. What was that?
Glee.
No, I know what it is. My favorite word's hello.
How about glee?
No.
cheer up. Silly.
I think
my
hello. I like hello because you are opening up a new relationship with someone.
You can't have goodbye without hello, though, so it's...
Yeah, I guess, okay. Well, the least favorite word could be goodbye, too.
Okay, but, good.
Yeah.
So, do you want my response or both of our responses?
We're going to do both.
Okay.
I've decided to throw myself into the mix.
You go first.
All right. You want me to go first?
Yeah.
All right. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Go ahead, you go first.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, it's your gig.
But I was interviewing you, and then I threw myself in. What turns me on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally? I like exciting people. I like broken people.
I like people.
I like broken people.
Me too. I like people that really want to grow with the company and are willing to relocate.
Uh-huh.
I would say unenthusiasm, believe it or not.
just turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally.
Yeah, when I'm not too ambitious, I'm better off. But when I'm too relaxed, I'm in trouble too.
Mm-hmm. What turns you off?
Boisterous people. No. What turns me off? Phony people turn me off. Disingenuousness.
Yes. I can agree with that one.
No, but I want you to answer. You have an answer.
What turns you off? The people that dismiss you.
Okay.
Yeah. That turns me off the most.
It don't have to be one word either. Screw these French people.
This next one is what's your favorite curse word, but you can use just a letter.
I already said it. Discharge.
mine's got to be the F-bomb.
Okay.
Or the
one day you'll have a gig you can swear.
I've learned to use the C-bomb really well over the years.
Well, you know what? I had a woman one night say to me, I was doing comedy in a strip club, playing the music, introducing the dancers. Lay some greenery on that scenery. I loved it, though.
That's pretty good.
And a dancer said, I love being called that word. And I said, that disturbs me more than not wanting to hear it.
That's disturbing. Bizarre.
I couldn't process it, though.
Well, over in Europe or England or whatever, it's just like a regular word. Ireland, a regular word.
It wouldn't bother me, but I get sick of it.
It's like saying damn, you know?
Well, you get sick of the F word after a while, too. What's the difference?
Yeah, but here, like the C word in the U.S., you call a woman that. Woo-wee.
No, but one day, there'll be no relevancy. I don't care what you're doing.
I don't think so either. Just words.
Madness.
Madness. Good stuff. WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. Right. Somebody finger painted a WMFO sign. That's kind of cool. That's nice.
Yeah, they did a pretty nice job. Another
artist.
They
did a pretty good job.
That doesn't get paid.
That turns me on creatively.
They did a good job. And
you know what turns me on creatively? Getting paid.
Of course. I do it for the money.
When you created something and get some money for it.
I want to make a living. I love cheering people up, but you got to pay me more than the ginger ale with lime.
Yes. You know what also turns me off? Non-excellence.
You mean mediocrity?
Mediocrity.
I'm with you, man.
Because there's so many people that just surf by, like you were talking about a couple people beforehand, and we know plenty of people that are like, how the hell are they still working? The hell are they getting by with
this?
It's an
incompetent society.
I've seen people do stuff for years, and they're not better, they're worse.
I know.
Like in comedy, can you believe people get worse?
Yeah.
Well, they're just horrible. They're just morons.
Some people come up to me after their first time doing comedy, and for some reason they want to know what I think.
Sure.
And I say, if I see potential in you, I'll tell you to keep going. Because you could become a genius in 2 years, and I can open for you.
I didn't ask you. You were on my first show. I told you that. Catch a Rising Star.
It had to be 1987.
You're like, that was funny. I think that's what you said. That was
no,
funny.
I asked you, I need to know, did you find me funny? You went, yes, I did, Larry. Because I'm still insecure about that.
Yeah. What sound and noise do you love?
I've grown to enjoy silence more than Jimmy Page's guitar. I never thought it would come to that.
Yeah. I like this sound. Ready?
Still?
Is that Donald
Still.
Duck?
I don't hear it as enough as I should.
Is that Donald Duck or a backfire?
Yeah. I never... I don't hear it as often as I should, but I do love that. I do like silence, though. I like the ocean. Yeah. I like listening to the waves.
That's silence, too.
Yeah. Yeah. The white noise. What sound or noise do you hate?
Hip hop music.
Really?
Yeah, the first note makes me want to become the funniest guy since sliced wrist.
Okay. Let's see.
But what I told you, I can't kill myself. My brother already did it in 1978. I can't follow that. It's like following Sweeney or Gavin. I can't do it.
Sad. You miss him.
I do.
Every day.
But I can't get drunk and blow my brains out, can I?
Well.
Because that just satisfies all the people that I grew up with to go, Larry told me he was going to do that when we were 9. No, I didn't.
You got to live you got to live and learn.
It's just hard. But then when you hang out with fun-loving people, you go, well, they would have missed me. So they gave me another day.
There are people that do care about you. There's always people that care about you.
And I don't even realize that. But I'm becoming more realistic.
The worst people are the ones that act like they care about you, and then they do the worst things to you.
Yeah. You remember Jim LaLetta?
I do.
I don't care if I can't mention his name.
Did he do something bad?
Well, I told him once that guy that gave you a hard time once is dying of cancer, and he went, good!
Really?
No, it's not good. You should go and cheer him up. but I'm not going to tell you how to run your life. That's what I would have done.
Yeah.
Because
now there's a lot of people I'd love to see riddled with cancer. And
no,
just
but,
go.
Well, I go see you when you're in the hospital bed. You can't get away and just say, I understand.
That's one of my greatest fears. Well, all of a sudden being in the hospital
bed. Don't worry, I'll visit you.
And my mother and dad coming and not stopping talk.
Here's,
oh my God, I'd want to shoot myself in the head.
Here's what I'd say to them.
Yes.
I understand why I'm not one of your favorite people. Believe me. Because what could I have done to impress you more?